For people to sit over back here if you want. You can put some chairs, you can sit back here.
I'm gonna play off my skill and I could,
people to sit over back here if you want. You can put some chairs, you can sit back here.
I'm gonna play off my skill and I could,
starting in, you're the cook your test.
That's what I'm saying.
There's room in the office there if anybody wants to hear the speakers in the office. There might be room there left in the office. And there's room behind here as well.
Light that will reflect
and reflect and deflect upon the whole Jewish people and indirectly on the whole world. Whenever I think of my father, Rabbi Shibbea, Zecherino Livroche, I cannot help but to think of my father, Rabbi Meishe, Zecherino Livroche. Because my brother, Rabbi Shibbea, and my father, Rabbi Meishe, had one soul, one mind, one heart. When the Yom Echadish Chidushiteve, the Yom Echadish together. I don't know of any parallel in the history of the Eretz Yisrael. The only one I can think of is Rabbi Tzvi Eiger and Tzvi Meiger. These two also, when the Yom Echadish Chidushiteve, it wasn't a monologue, it was a dialogue. If you see, whenever you look over a Chiddush Rabbi Tzvi Eiger, constantly mentioned, of me, Refleini, when Refleini writes it about her, Ovi Meiri, Rabbi Tzvi Eiger. But there is one difference. Rabbi Tzvi Eiger, had one nishome, one mind, one heart, but they were not hidden in a cave. Rabbi Shibbea and Rabbi Meishe, Zecherino Livroche, were hidden in a cave, hidden from everybody, hidden from their own Talmidim, the thousands of Talmidim they had. Rabbi Meishe and Rabbi Shibbea were Rosh Yeshivas, Yeshivas Rabbi Tzvohono, since 1929 until 1993. But the two of them were not really alone, revealed. They tried to hide, not to reveal their Torah. And people say there is a tradition in Brisk, not the published Torah. It's true. But what is it? It's not there. It's a tradition in Brisk, not the published Torah. The tradition is grounded in the fact that they felt that the Zohar cannot be revealed the moment it is reflected. It has to go through a process, a threefold process, known in physics as reflection, and diffraction. What is reflection? Reflection, by definition, means whether it's in connection with waves of light or waves of sound. It means that the body emits waves that bounces back to the place from which it emanated. Rav Chaim Volozhin, as well as his father, the Bisalevi, and his grandfathers, the Bitzale, Rav Chaim Volozhin, so they task was a relatively simple task, to reflect the Torah that was given at Sinai, to reflect it in all the corners of the earth. When my father Meishe came to America in 1929, then he had a more difficult task. Reflection couldn't have been enough. Reflection is possible when there is one medium. In Volozhin, in Brisk, there was one medium for which the rays of the light of the Torah was it were able to penetrate. There was no necessity to have recourse to the process of refraction, which means the bending of the rays. When the rays of the sun have to change the direction from one medium into another, from the medium of pure air into the medium of water, of rain, then there is a bending of the rays, but no breaking off of the rays. But sometimes, when the rays of the sun have to penetrate through an opaque person, then bending is not enough. Then there is a law of nature that the rays of the sun have to manipulate, to penetrate, by breaking off into the spectrum of colors. This is the phenomenon of the rainbow. Eskasti nosati bon. That was the covenant. Every covenant was coupled with a symbol. What was the symbol that expressed the covenant between the Rebbeinu Shalom and the whole human race? There's the rainbow. When does the rainbow happen? When it starts raining, there is a flood. Keep some point. No sun, then all of a sudden the sun comes out. Then the sun not only is required to change its medium, but it has to manipulate, to break off into its numerous and multifarious components called the spectrum of colors. And then we sing the Avelide describing the King Godo, Shimare Hashemesh Bisihonon Shimare Ken. That is the Mare of the King Godo. The King Godo was the spiritual leader of Klal Yisrael, and indirectly of all of humanity. He was mispalel for kshamim, that economy. He was mispalel for spiritual light for the whole Jewish people. How can you do it? You have to resort to the spectrum of colors. You have to break off into the numerous and multifarious ways. My father, Meshach, in the United States, he had to change the medium. In Rav Chaim's days, in the Bishalevi's days, in the Yitzchak's days, in Rav Elef Ruzhina's days, in Rav Yitzchak Voloshin's days, Rav Chaim Voloshin's days. So the way to shed light was a very simple one, relatively speaking. All he had to do is to explain in Yoni HaTor. But when Rav Meisha came to the United States, he had to penetrate into students who were living in a different medium, in a medium of Torah and Chokhmah Shelula, Chokhmah Se'ilam. It wasn't easy for my father, Rav Meisha, to explain concept of Shtoreth, concept of Akira Anochi. My father used to tell me, when I give a shiur on Rav Chazoke, it's so simple. I don't have to explain 10 times, but when I give a shiur on Achire Tirach Anoche, on Shtores, Ini Machsum Lashtar, Nazek, Shidakar, Edes, and Edesn, that an ordinary piece of paper, it testifies everything. Everything is Gemara in Shuvas Ben Shaul. I have to explain it several times, and I have to prepare it. How to explain it? Because the students in Yeshivas Hapsuko Honon, who are raised in a different media, they can grasp concepts of stories of Akshivat Tzirach Hanoha. They can grasp Rav Chazoke, Smek Fake. That's a very simple thing. Every judge can understand that, but not the concept of stories. Well, my brother, Reb Sheber, became Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Satsurahana. So then in 1940, then he had the bigger challenge to penetrate the Iskat Torah into a paid students in Matras Yisholem, criticizing them. They are paid because they were raised in an environment that is hostile to Torah. He had to resort to giving lectures in Jewish philosophy. In Jewish philosophy, in Chavis HaRovei, Shmira Nevuchim, in Kuzari. So that was the most difficult challenge, but he fulfilled that function of distraction, of breaking off the rays of the Torah into its numerous components gloriously and successfully. And now I would like to mention certain Pesukim by Yeshiv that is very relevant to my brother Rebbe Sheber. In Bereishis on a Zion, the Torah says, V'Yisroel O'av Es Yeshiv Mikol Barof Kiven Shkunim Uloi Yisroel Yaakov Avinu loved his son Yosef more than any other children. Why? Because he was a Ben Shkunim. Was the Pshat in Ben Shkunim? So, three Pshat. One Pshat is, he was a son who was Neilat at the old age of Yaakov Avinu. The other Pshat is, Shehoyo Ben Hakim. He was a very wise, smart son, in the sense of the Zokin of Mishkan HaChochma, that Yosef HaTzadik was Mikabel, the whole Torah that Yaakov received, learned in the Bishmedra Shal Shin Veila. We also like Sinus Passage. And in order to symbolize Yaakov's preference to Yosef, he made him a striped shirt, his father's saw that Yaakov, you know, the father, loved Yosef more than any one of them. In all the English translations, it is translated, they hated him. That's a very inaccurate translation. Even disliked him is a very inaccurate translation. In my opinion, Vaishnoisi means they resented him. Not that they hated him, Chassid Shalom. Not that they disliked him, Chassid Shalom. But they resented him because they loved him. And they wanted that Jesus should be one of them. But they felt that he was superior to them. Not because they didn't have that potential. They had the same potential as Jesus. But Jesus tried all the time to galvanize their potential. They didn't. So they are jealous. Jealousy is not grounded in hatred. Sometimes it is conducive to hatred. Jealousy is grounded in an inability, in not being ready, not an inability, to do what the other person does. The other person does his utmost to galvanize his potential, and they don't. So, they couldn't, they resented him so much, he couldn't even talk peaceably to him. Vayachlin, Yisif Chalim, Yisif was a dreamer, and he dreamt a dream. Vayavit Lechav, he didn't, this dream, he didn't tell his father Yaakov. The second dream, he told his father Yaakov. Yisif dreamt two Chalimis. One dream he was, so the brothers were standing in the field and they were binding sheaves. And of course, Yisif was also binding his sheaves. And then, all of a sudden, their sheaves started to encircle and walk around the sheaf of Joseph. And then they bowed down to Joseph's sheaf. That was one dream. The second dream was a more glorious dream, a more spiritual dream. Symbolizing Yaakov and Leah, and the seven stars symbolizing the brothers of Joseph. And they are all bowing down to Joseph HaTzadik. That was a very strange dream. That dream, he told his father Yaakov, and Yaakov rebuked him, was the obvious Shomer HaSadam. Yaakov felt he was convinced that this is not an ordinary dream, that Halim showed it at all. What is a prophetic dream that is destined to be fulfilled? So they resented him more, and they started to dislike him more. And he says, by Shatter Aloviv, the Lechov, ויגר ביוביף, ויהים עולי, מה חולים הזה השחולנט? הבן נובי, אני ואימכו, ואוכיחו, וישתח עלי שלחו ארצה. ויקנו ביוביף, אהוב, ושעובי שמע את הדבר. What did this dream symbolize? Another dream. יעקב אבינו was also a dreamer. As it is mentioned in Vayikra. He dreamt of a dream of the Shulam Mutzafarzo, the Reishim Adila Shomaimo, the letter set up on earth, on concrete ground, and its top reaches unto heaven. His Vatzadik dreamt two dreams, but the two dreams were really two component dreams of Yaakov's one dream. But Yaakov lived in a time when everyone he mingled with, that was before he arrived in Haran. So everyone he mingled with was convinced of the heritage of Avraham, of Yitzchak. So it was one dream where of Yeshua Mutafar to the Rishon HaGeshamayim. But Yosef dreamt of the day when he'll go to Egypt and he'll become prime minister of pagan Egypt. Can you talk to them about Shulam Mutafar to the Rishon HaGeshamayim? They'll consider you crazy. They had no concept of survival. They only had a concept of Arzon. So he had to analyze his father Yaakov's dream into two dreams. And the prime himself was criticized by many people who recognized that the prime's Torah is the Amishal Torah. But they criticized him by calling him the chemiker, the chemist. Reb Chaim also discovers there are two halachas, two din. No, they felt there is always one din, not one halacha. They resented him, and the brothers of Yosef also resented Yosef, because he dreamt two dreams. But in the days of Yosef, in the pagan world, in the Egypt, where everything, even the birds, absorb pagan melodies, Yosef had to dream two dreams. The same problem was with my brother Rekshiver. It's not his fault, and I'm not criticizing anything at all. And then the Rosh Hashiveh. But it's your dua that the Rosh Hashiveh, the daily Torah in America, alienated themselves from Rekshiver. Why? What did Rekshiver do? He gave shiurim in Aloha 5 hours. There's no other Rosh Hashiveh ever did. Nothing more than that. But he also did lectures in philosophy in Chibes Alvoris, in the Kuzari, in the Meir Nivuchim. That they could not do. They could not do it because they didn't know how to break the rays of the Torah into its various spectrum colors. So then, they resented him to an extent that even some of the Chishitol that they heard and they liked and they enjoyed and they realized it sheds light on certain sugyas and shas, they mentioned it in a published form in the name of Reb Chaim, not in the name of my father, the Chaim Elohim. I'm not criticizing. If I had been among them, probably would behave the same way. I should have guaranteed him. But let me quote certain sukkim from my chiv of the broche that Yaakov Avinu bestowed upon. Against Yosef. The heart such as fears him, attacked him, and charged him, and aided him. But his boldest friends, he didn't fail. And the arms of his strength were made up by the hands of the Almighty God of Jacob. From thence, from the shepherd, the stone of Israel, by the God of my father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee, with blessings of heavens above, blessings of the deep that couches beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. Yosef was endowed with all the genes that he inherited from his father Yaakov, and the genes he inherited from his mother Rachel. Together with the milk Yosef as a child sucked from the breasts of Rachel, he also sucked concepts of duty, concepts of chesed, and of course, the achim of Yosef resented it. My brother Shabbat too, the Rabbeinu Shalom, blessed him with all the genes of his father Meshe and his grandfather Chaim, his great ancestor, the Bishalevi, the chief of Chaim Olozhener, and he was blessed with all the genes of my mother's Chaim Olozhener, of Chaveh Pozhener. And that's why he was here, to become the Rishpa Mishpa, not the Dala brothers on a table, but the other brothers did not try to galvanize the qualities that they inherited from their parents. Yosef did. I'd like to conclude with two statements. One statement, and I beg each and every one of you not to misunderstand me. I don't want, and I don't mean, to single out any child of my brother and sister. They're all the same. But everybody has his destiny. Just as Yosef had the tragic but fortunate destiny, as the Danish one said to Yaakov Avinu, the Yosef Yoshis Yodei Necho, Yosef, your son, will put his hand on your eyes before you die. That is a truth that not everybody is there. I wasn't there, I told you. I was in Shamish, my father. I wasn't there that I should put my hands on the eyes of my father, the Chaim Olozhener, 52 years ago. But Rabbi Yeshebel, my father, was there. And he was there with my father the last few moments. He woke up, and then he had to say the Birkas HaShachar. So he said to my brother, Bel, you know, Bedia, you know, Darf Zom, the Birkas HaShachar, the Chodesh Kuntzeach. So do the Zom, the Birkas HaShachar, Yisrasher, either my hand, pour water over my hands, and say to the HaShachar, Unicholem Samomen, Yicholem Samomen. So then, my brother did it. He filled up the pail, the cup of water, he poured it on his hands, he wiped his hands, and he made all the Birkas HaShachar. And then my father said to him, Daryl, Fühle solchen Fehler. Erstens, er durst mich kein Willen. Im Poschig, ob je schief, Joschis, Löbel, Orner. Zweitens, fühle der Sorgen, als im Poschig. Schwach, wund, wie die Sache, wie die Sache der Rache. In der Spring, in der Spring, wie die Reis. Der Regiment, wo es dem Edrisch, Rabe, schwach, wund, But I want to sing loud, two children, that we saw Tversky and the Tara Tversky. They were there to death roots, to take care of their father that we sit there in the last days of his life. And yesterday I walked over to Tara's house. And I stayed there 2.5 hours. And I think Rav Hosnia was saying good. And I wasn't allowed to say to him, I'm an alien. Macy Mutter was one of, but for, and Tara was not saying to him either. But every 1/2 hour, I saw Tara stood up and bend the face and took a good look at my father as he was lying on the floor with the towers covering the mouth. And she looked at her father, whose eyes she wasn't able to see then, with so much love and affection. I am 75 years old. It would be around me 76 years old. I never saw that. She didn't took, I saw many mothers looking at their deceased children with love and affection, but I never saw in my life a daughter looking with so much affection at a father who was lying on the floor, covered with his towels. And then I felt a certain jealousy towards Tara and towards Yitzchak, that they were zeiche to this tragic and fortunate truth. Then I want to tell, to repeat one more thing, that my brother mentioned in Hashtag 52 years ago over my father in 1940. He said, when Rav Chaim Volozhiner passed away, his son Rav Yitzchak, his Malachim Volozhin, said to all the Talmidim Volozhin, at that time Volozhin had very few Talmidim, I don't think they had hundreds of Talmidim. So he said, Talmidim of Volozhin, the Medrash Eicha tells us that when the Mishamigdash was destroyed and was in flames, so the Kirchitune, the young Torah in the Mishamigdash, went up to the roof of the Mishamigdash, and they threw down the keys. And he said to the Rebbeinu Shalom, we don't need the keys anymore. Please, take it! And then a figurative hand came out from heaven and grabbed the keys. Raditya Rolozhina said, you think that it was to the credit of the Pirhidun? No, Chassid Sholem. It's in criticism of the Pirhidun. That was the biggest blunder that the Tzilchei Tzuni made. If they hadn't thrown the keys into the fire there in short time, with their required effort, they would have been able to rebuild the Tzemdiv. Don't repeat that blunder. I'm telling now, told the Mitzvah, not only held here, but all the Mitzvah of the United States and Canada and in Israel, don't repeat that mistake. Don't smile. The keys of the Bishnigos Yad of Yeshiva Shavitz Ohanam, where Mishpachas Brisk had been penetrating light of Torah since 1929. Don't throw the keys into the fire. Keep the keys and rebuild the gates of the mysterious Yad Yeshiva Shabbin Yitzchak. Let us hope that we'll be destined to see the day of Bila HaMoson Esach Moha Yishem of Tim Dimo Yalukofan.
Yeah.